We have lost $3,800 when one of our employees wasn't properly terminated by him.
This enraged them, and they did this.
To prevent another loss like this, we begin implementing new training strategies.
From on-the-job guidance and video instructions.
Providing your employees with quality training will help your business be more successful.
Stay tuned as we discuss how you can train employees so they don't screw you.
So when you're evaluating your business, you need to look at the training gaps. A big training gap we had, which is this specific situation, is that me and Eddie wasn't properly trained on how to let people go. And so this story is wow. So Eddie, tell us about Louisiana.
Oh, Louisiana. Yeah, so Louisiana, I think he's been with the company for 4 months now, and he did like a federal offense, and I had to let him go.
What was the federal offense?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't quite remember, but I think it had to do something with...
not bringing breakfast?
No, well, yeah, that's one of them, but no, he didn't commit that one. That was the ultimate. No, he, I'll be honest with you, I don't remember, but he did something pretty bad, and it cost us money, and in doing that, I just decided that I needed to let him go. I called him, and I was on the phone with him because I wanted to tell him prior to his next shift, which was the next day. I said, hey, this happened. It cost us this much money. And then what I said was, we no longer need your services. And then he started going on and said, hey, man, I'm sorry. I said, it's okay. It happens. I understand. But, yeah. We just no longer need your services. And we left it like that. He hung up the phone. I hung up the phone. And then I call in the mornings to check on the guys, and I called the Frisco location. I was like, hey, how's everything going? It's like, oh, it's going good. We're loading up. Got me, Louisiana, and John, and so-and-so. Yeah. We're getting everything loaded up. I said, Louisiana? He's like, yeah, Louisiana's right here. He's loading up the stuff. I was like, I told Louisiana yesterday that he's fired. And he's like, oh, he's here working.
Yeah, working good,
and
too.
So, yeah, he's working good. And I was like, pass Louisiana the phone. Let me talk to him. And Louisiana, hey, what's up, man? I was like, hey, Louisiana, what are you doing there? He's like, I'm here working my shift. And he's like, no, Louisiana, yesterday I called you, and I told you your service is no longer needed, which basically means you're fired. Like, what are you doing there? So evacuate the property. He's like, why don't you come over here and tell me in my face? And it got started getting escalated, and I was like, you know what, I'm not going to have this over the phone. It's like, well, just get out because I'm calling the cops to get you. I was like, okay, I got something for you. And so I'm like, what is this? And he hangs up the phone. I'm like, what does he got for me? And then I switch over to the camera view. I'm like, oh no. And I see him pull out a knife. And so I'm calling the cops because I'm thinking like, oh, my whole team's about to get murdered, right?
Get murdered. Get deleted.
Yeah, get deleted. And I'm like, uh-oh. So I call the cops. And then so I start heading that way. And, yeah, so long story short, he didn't murder our whole team.
Yeah, he was actually really nice about it.
Yeah.
Because he was like
I didn't know about it, but, when I get there, and I'm like, oh, what happened? And he's like, well, basically he said, Louisiana, we saw the knife, and everyone's like, ah, what am I going to do? And then, our leader manager's like, hey, bro, don't do it. He's like, oh, I have nothing against you guys. I'm just going to take it out on this guy's stuff. I was like, okay. And he said, don't do it. And I could see him in the camera. I went back and looked at it. He said, don't do it, bro. And we had thrown chairs, and he was just like Jason. He was just let it loose on the throw chair, Chucky.
Yeah.
He's like, ah! You know that, well, that child's play when he, like, yeah, a knife, and like, he just basically went
ham. Like Drax off Guardian of the Galaxy.
Yeah, he went ham on all our thrown chairs. And luckily, we had some that were in the air, so it was out of his reach. So he's like, yeah, I'm not going to worry about that. Yeah. I didn't get to those chairs.
But he didn't realize, he was trying to hurt us. Mm-hmm. But we got all new, brand new throne chairs because of Next Insurance.
Yes.
All new throne chairs.
Brand new. Yeah. And then he also, what did he say? You watched the video.
Oh, yeah. So after he got finished casually destroying the throne chairs, I watched them go back through. And then he went back to the thing, went back to the house. And then he was like, oh, yeah. Oh, not at the house, but to the car. He was like, hey, my girl, she wants the speaker just like this. I'm taking this. So he went to the car. And then he came back, or before, one of those two. And he was like, y'all still need help loading up? He was like,
yep, he sure did.
He said, y'all still need help loading up? And I was talking to myself, like, who would do that? And I was like, you do this and then still.
Oh, you should have said yes. And then cops would have got there in time. Yeah.
And then he was like, and then obviously, because like this at the time too, y'all have seen Kobe. Kobe didn't really know us as much during the time.
So he wasn't going to be able to take a bullet for us. He was like, go ahead.
He's saying, like, do what you got to do, whatever. And then Kobe's also too, he's like, the whole cops thing like freaked him out.
Oh, yeah. He didn't like cops.
Yeah. He didn't like, but this whole thing right here, this whole thing is that like, there are specific words you need to say when you fire somebody. In different states, there's different things you have to do. But in Texas, this is the at-will state, which means that they work at our will. No, but you can technically fire anybody for any reason that's not I would say, federally accepted. So what is that? Things like your gender, your sexuality, your color, race, demographic, religion, and maybe a couple other things. I think it's like 7 things on there that you have to worry about. But besides that, if you come in the next day and you like, you know, I hate those shoes, you let them go right then and there. And it would be basically, you know, it would be no harm. You won't get anything pushed against you, especially in Texas. Now, if you're in like California, you might have to go through this whole process. I know in Canada, you have to like give people this many warnings, all that stuff, depending on where you guys are on there. But in Florida and in here and here, that's kind of the general standpoint. This is only for employees, not for contractors. So the biggest thing is like, we realized this, and this helped us actually realize that like we had inadequacies in our training processes that we both had. Because I know after we talked about it, I was like, Eddie, like, what did you actually say? And then from what I thought, it was like, it made it seem like, I know you probably like, wow, you said what you said, but then I was thinking like, it sounds like y'all just ending the call. Mm-hmm. Like your server's no longer needed for this call. He's like, all right. And I wonder too if you hung up first and he was like, all right, see you tomorrow, boss. Or something like that. But like, you know, like if you don't put these things into place and you don't watch the wording, which we've learned now from, you know, almost $4,000 of expenses, you know, these things are going to happen on a regular basis. And there's so many different training opportunities that we have. And we're going to discuss, I'm going to try to get through all of them today. Not all of them, but a lot of them. So Eddie, so when I told you this, how did you feel about it? From what I said?
Oh, well, I mean, when you brought it to that perspective, well, I kind of thought about it. And I was like, well, you're right, because you know
wait, say that again.
You were right.
I've heard that many times.
So yeah, so one thing is like at the time when I first started this, I think we were still kind of young, well, maybe like a year and some change, but. At the time, I was still under the conception that common sense and, you know, just things are just white, black and white, just easy to, you know, translate over. But after this incident, like, I understood that everybody thinks differently. Not everybody understands lingo or maybe some sentences they might have trouble. So that one, it was kind of... It was a mistake on my part, just assuming that he understood where I was coming from. But yeah, moving forward, I don't do any firing anymore. That goes in another whole thing about, you know, an owner firing a team member. It kind of hits harder. And I think that's what would happen too. You know,
yeah, he took it personally.
He took it personally.
Yeah.
And he didn't think about like, well, I'm just, you know, it's over. He was just at that time thinking, how can I hurt him the most with what I currently, like my position right now. And he thought the throne chairs was going to hurt me. But actually, it made me feel better because now we got brand new throne chairs.
Yeah. And I think this happened like a year and some change ago.
Yeah.
So this has been a little minute. But I'm going to just real quick, just for you guys to know on this, so you don't have this issue. You need to tell them, in some wording similar to this, you need to say, you are fired or you are terminated. You no longer work here. Please do not show back up at the facility or you will be called for trespassing and your police will be called on you. This needs to be said to them, email, text, whatever you can do, multiple ways you do it. Please don't be texting people, you fired, and then like stuff like that. But preferably if you can do it in person or on the phone. And then if you have a reason, I would just give the reason. If you talk to them on the phone, they're going to try to fight the reason the whole time, whole process. But if you do have an HR person, they'll be able to break it down. They understand this. Just so you can write in your file just in case anything comes up. So each person, you want to write down kind of reason why they got fired or the reason just internally, just in case you ever audit it. And they can't be like, oh, they fired me because I was black, or they fired me because it's whatever the situation they can come up with. You don't want them to be bringing that up, and then you have no evidence. So that's just a good way to start. But the email thing is big right now. And then every single time we have personally fired somebody, every person has taken it personally. Except maybe like one or two people, if that. Most people take it personally. Take very personally.
I remember the one you did was the lady in Fort Worth.
Yeah. But I got set up for that, though.
Yeah. Like, what are you going to do about it? You
know, yeah.
Like, and then you let the emotions boil. Like, let me get here.
Yeah. Well, I just think she wasn't doing anything. It's just like, we're there, and I clearly said, hey, are you on break? And she said, no. And then she continued to still not do anything. And she's supposed to be meeting the quota of linens. And then I guess Lily, Eddie's wife, said the same thing to her a couple times, too. And then Lily said that she's been there the whole time, and she hasn't really done anything. And so she's just building on the clock, and I don't like when people are just blatantly stealing. And I don't think she knew, because I have never seen her.
No, she did not know who you were.
She did not know where I was at the time. And so she was like, you can't fire me. And then I was like, I'm 100% going to fire you. I'm pretty sure that if anyone can fire you, I'm 100% the person who can fire you. She's like, what's your name? And then she's like, oh. And then she come back in with a video camera. And she was trying to do a live stream. Like, your live stream has nobody on it. Which I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying, no, I just told her straight up. And I think most people believe if they get fired, because they don't actually know to understand the laws, that they can fired unjustly or something like that. And like, I think she was going to say, like, oh, you're a racist. I'm like, I'm not. Most people we hire here are minorities by far. Like, we are minorities. But I'm not saying that you can't be minority to be racist, but you know what I'm saying? You know, y'all know each other. But I'm saying that we hired particularly not on purpose, but just that's just usually fortunately that's what's out there for us. Mm-hmm. Down here. So like she tried to say that, and it was a African American woman at the time, and she did not take it well at all. She did not like it. And I know Lily was probably like, yeah, but in obviously in her sweet, nice voice.
Yeah, so sweet.
Yeah, she was planning it. But this brings me to another thing. We were talking about this earlier. Before this, we were talking with Tina about little things. And then one thing she said, which I think we've been working on a lot more, is giving the expectation. Because we watched a video. It was from like Leia Hamozi I sent to you.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, and it's setting the expectation of what you want people to do. If you want them to do something, be very clear at the very beginning what you want them to do, if you're going to grade them on it. Now, there's some things that are like tests and other stuff that I know Eddie does a lot, and sometimes I do take from him that you can still run. But for most things that you're going to grade people on, like if you want them to show up on time, then tell them to show up on time. I know it seems like kind of crazy and stuff like that, or you want them to wear a certain type of pants, don't just fire them the first day and without correcting it, because sometimes so many people could have been good people, they just didn't know, or the stuff wasn't said a certain way that they blame me.
And another thing that I've learned from all this is like some people, they won't tell you, like for instance about the pants thing you were talking about, I've had conversations like why are these people not in dress code, and then they'll tell us, well, then they'll finally come to us and tell us, hey, well, they don't have the money to buy that stuff. So there might be some and that's really tough for some people to say, because you know if somebody's prideful, they're not going to tell you straight out that, hey, I don't have the money, I can't afford this. So there's certain situations that you know otherwise wouldn't know unless you ask them specifically.
Tina, what were you saying earlier about when I was telling you about the headphones thing?
So I think that maybe your common sense and what you are expecting of people is not very, like, you know, they don't think that you would expect that from them. So maybe just, you know, being more clear, setting that boundary and that expectation, so they already know from the get-go that, you know, this is what you're expecting, and, you know, they could do that for you better than just, you know, just leaving things like that and seeing if they'll fix it. Because sometimes, you know, they could still be a good worker, but they might not pay attention to the details that you pay attention to. Maybe some things that they think is important is different from what you think is important. So I think it's best to just be clear, set that boundary. And obviously, you know, if you're testing them, see if they could do something. Those tests should be something that is of importance, something that is, you know, going to affect the company, something that you just want
to
see.
Test wasn't important?
No, I'm not going to say your test wasn't important, but I will say your test was something that, you know, maybe someone who pays more attention to detail would see and understand. For me, when I had started working here, I kind of wanted to get a grasp of the bigger picture, you know, like, what were you wanting? I was wanting to execute that, you know, whatever you guys were wanting and whatever direction you guys were going. I wasn't thinking, oh, maybe I should position the headphones this way so it doesn't seem half-assed.
Yeah. Well, this is interesting right here. Because, like, you are an employee here. Thankfully, we are all employees here by the system that we run. But you are an employee. Would you say that most employees want to do well at their job?
I would say most employees would want to perform the best they possibly could just so that, you know, they could stay employed. A lot of the people who are looking for warehouse jobs and things like that, they might not have the money or necessary means to be jumping around job to job. So I would say a lot of employees do want to do well. And, you know, it's just up to you guys and the company to give them the right resources to do well.
Eddie, being on the other side of that, do you believe most employees want to be successful?
I believe.
They believe.
They believe, yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I believe they believe that what they're doing, because you won't imagine how many interviews I do. And in my head, I'm like, what were they thinking? Like, their attire, the way they carry their stuff, all these things in my mind is just like, this is a representation of what I'm going to get. But in their mind, I don't think that they see the importance of those things. So I think that they truly want to have a job and obviously get paid and work and to some degree in their mind be successful. But I don't think there's anybody that comes in the job interview and says, hey, I just want to mess everything up. So just get me in the door so I can go and start terrorizing this company.
I'm trying to sabotage.
Yeah, exactly. Everything. Yeah. They're ready to blow up everything in the
warehouse. I'm a Trojan horse.
Yeah, exactly. Just like that. So I don't think that's their intention. I think they truly, but in their mind, what that equivalates, you know what I mean? Might not be what we want.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, I think Tina has a statistic on this right here.
So 74% of workers say that a lack of employee development opportunities is preventing them to reach their full potential.
Just if you're at right now, please, if you're watching this right now, please let me know which one of you guys have training and how much training material do you have for your employees when you set up. And then we'll go through and review this and we'll kind of go from there. Because we're going to show you one day, we're going to show you guys soon what we have and what we're building. I think we're doing like 9 videos a week over different topics across the whole business. We're doing product specific stuff. We're doing area specific. We're doing how to go through tasks. And we had some stuff in place before, but the amount of training that you really need to do to be able to give people out on the right foot, because you always say how people start. Oh, what's the saying on there? But you can you always talk about how, like, what people do in their first couple of days or what expectations are set by the surroundings really, like, dictate how they're going to be in 30, 60, 90 days?
Yeah, exactly. Just like you said, what they see, their surroundings is what they're going to try to adapt to be. But if you give them kind of, you have people that have bad old habits, they're going to grab onto those. And it's one of those things that we've actually been working towards right now with our current company, grabbing the bad habits and getting them, either getting them fixed or getting them out. Because when we get new hires coming in and they're getting onboarded, they're intermingling with all our team. And if our team has these bad habits, then it's just going to, like a virus, just spread. And then now that new hire has that same kind of thing that you're trying to get rid of, you know, in your system. But yeah, just that's the way it is. But it's an ongoing process, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So like when you're, it's like with this issue that we happen right for us, every time an issue happens to you, you need to write it down, put it somewhere, and turn it into a policy going forward. And then what was the reason? And I know some people probably don't understand like why we go so deep into the problems, because if you don't want them to keep happening over and over again, you need to actually figure out what's the root of the actual issue. But if the root of your issue is that you don't know how to start, then you need to get the ultimate checklist or girl. There's a lot of stuff that'll help you in there.
Oh, yeah.
And I got a new chapter that we got coming out. That's gonna people going to really like it. It's going to go over how to kind of set your costs up and everything. But make sure you get the ultimate checklist. If you don't know where to get ultimate checklist, check the first comment in the first link in the description. It'll make sure you get taken care of. It is completely free. How much is it, Eddie?
Free.
It's free. But it'll really help you help you guys out on helping build your business and set up the different things. And then we're looking for any guidance or anything that you think that we should add on there. We want everyone to be successful. Part of the what's our community name?
The Rental Boys.
Yeah. What about the girls?
Oh, the part of it too.
Yeah. So now that you've found all the holes in your training, well, not all of them, but a lot of them. Now it's time to start plugging those holes. So you need to build some effective systems. So me and Eddie have went through a lot of debate at the beginning. What did you just say to me at the very beginning?
Which part? There's a lot of stuff.
No, what did you just say to me about training and?
Oh, well, that's just funny. Yeah, you'd say, I'd say, well, I told him this is how you do it. And then you would get on like, those are all jargon movements.
Everything has
to be documented and this and that. I already told him how to do it. How many times did I tell him?
No, I mean the other thing.
Which part?
When you said at four that y'all have no training, even though you got into a position differently than everybody else. Mm. But you said they have no training.
I mean,
what you told me.
Kind of like on the job training. Like, be honest, they don't have documents and say, hey, this is what you do. I mean, they have like a code list that like an example, but I guess they don't give you like all the nitty details. Those are the kind of things you learn as you go.
So they don't have a document at all, or just because you said, how was the way that you got into the position?
I just picked up a pen and paper and just ran with it, and then I said, well. It showed the eagerness of just wanting to do it. I kind of took initiative, just started doing it. And they're like, oh, well, we are down a person. He shows that he wants to do it. So
yeah. I think at first you wanted everyone else to be like that. But everyone would grab the pen and paper, and they would just start stabbing stuff. And you're like, what are you doing? It's like,
that's not how you do that.
Yeah. So let's go over kind of our flow of how we build the training now. Let's go through the warehouse. I think since that's been where the most effort is put in.
Yeah.
Let's start from when they first walk in until they leave. Let's kind of run through there.
Okay.
So what's the first thing they do when they walk in?
No, first thing they do when they walk in, very first day, they go into the break room, and then we have documents that they read over. And then we also have like a brochure that has all the pictures of all our equipment and the information on it, basic information. We basically tell them that, hey, you can't leave this room for an hour to 2 hours, depending on how busy you are. But they have to stay in that room. And then afterwards, we give them like a little small test and see what kind of information that they absorb during that time to kind of see like what kind of candidate. Because, you know, in the beginning, they may talk the good talk, but can they start walking the walk is what we do. And then if they get most of the answers right, then from there, they go to shadowing with their lead. Our lead kind of shows them over what they just learned. And then how the flow of the warehouse goes and like what they do day to day, the task list that we have for them, how they fill that out, what's the process to do, and then basically walk up throughout the whole week.
So like you need to have a list exactly of what you want the expectation you want the person to be, and then we want to actually be able to hopefully, like how they say in the stuff, which I think we're going to start to work on, is tell them it's going to be this hard, so when they get here it's easier. And so they have a positive reaction to what they're doing and try to not have them do stuff outside of their job title, tasks or stuff like that, which is like, I think for us, it was difficult because as soon as someone found themselves to be capable, I feel like we were like, oh, yo, put them in a truck. Let me go make some deliveries. We need them right now. And I think some of that has worn people down for, in the past.
Yeah.
Because like we needed people really bad. We need people to go work and do certain things, but that's because we couldn't properly train people and hire people correctly. Or the people, I think mostly the people that we were hiring were not people that could be trained properly, or they shouldn't have been in our system from the start.
Yeah.
Or we had we had good people obviously come through who possibly we'd put more effort into it, or didn't throw them out on the first hour when they first get there and tell them to drive and say, go to this location, call this number, then
make it happen.
We would have had more success on there. And I'm pretty sure some of you guys are probably thinking, like, how hard is it to make a delivery and stuff? Do I really need to invest the time to pay someone for 30, 40 hours the first week before they step foot out? Mm-hmm. We believe so. If you want someone to last and can stay with you, it might not take you 30 hours or 40 hours. It's just that, like, we just have a generally lot of people and we have a lot of stuff going on. We have different categories, different things they have to worry about. But when we've seen people, if they make it through the training, they just are better off. System. And people usually who start off in a warehouse just do better.
Yeah.
But let's get back into the first day again. Sorry, I jumped off.
Oh, that's okay. So, yeah, just basically, like I said, from there, the lead takes them off. If they're a delivery driver, we now have where they start off in the warehouse. They don't just jump straight into driving. And the reason behind that is a lot of times the delivery driver doesn't understand the things that happen in the warehouse and why certain things. So it's like one thing, it was like it's an ongoing fighting battle that a delivery driver will just grab something or it won't tell anybody. And then the excuse will be, oh, well, I needed it for my route. But if we started off in the warehouse, him, you know, seeing the operation, how it runs, he would understand the importance of inventory and management of that. So that's been working out pretty well. We're just now starting to circle back and retrain all of our old, employees that we have there. And then after that, we're basically touching base, and I have a checklist. And then from there, the lead tells me, like, hey, have these points been touched? Have they been executed the way that our standard is? And then once they are, we have, like, a whole thing that they sign off on the individual saying that, hey, that they're ready.
Can we
and
show them that checklist?
Yeah, we have a checklist. And then once the lead says that, hey, this person's checked off and they're good to go, and then we go and basically send them off, and then we start tracking their performance, and then we start seeing, like, how they're doing, and then any kind of challenges that we do is we kind of correct it if there is any, and then we come up with, like, a plan, like, how to fix this issue. Because, you know, even though that you signed off on it, I think Kobe had probably one, like, last month, and I was like, hey, I thought you signed off on this. I was like, yeah, I did. Then why do you have an accident? But yeah, stuff like that.
We have
that.
A thing on the checklist that says no accidents.
It just says that obey traffic laws and stuff like that. And
when they say can't obey traffic laws, we're holding the phone.
Yeah, so it's all sorts of stuff. But you know, main thing is that we just continually wanted to continue to educate our team members because there's different circumstances, and that's one thing. Like. Even though we have all these training documents, it's ever growing, because one thing that we do is we say, okay, we have a problem. Is the problem the individual, or is it us, or the training? And then if it's the training, then we'll revamp it, and then we'll rework it, and then run with it. But it's not set in stone, but it's a lot better than when we first started off. I know we were just like you said, a lot of your things are jargon movements. Like, you don't have it written down, and this is how you do it.
Yeah, we have videos and things that kind of, that thanks to Tina and stuff. And then I know Eddie's been working those extra Tuesday shifts hard to get these videos out.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, this is how you, it's so, like, that's good. Do I need to show this?
But let's get this right here. So, like, before they even make the post, what material should they write out, jot down, to a video on? Like, what's the first thing they should do? And then, like, let's walk that through, like, to, like, their first 30, 90 days.
Well, I think the very most important is the expectation. Because that should be, like, shown into the actual post of the hire. That way the person that's reading it, since most people just say, oh, warehouse drive, okay, cool, I can do that and click on it. And that's fine, but once you get that individual and then you reiterate the expectation and what you need of that individual, and they're either not going to show up, like you said, like it's happened before, once they say, yeah, I do, or, you know, they will very easily and very fast, like, weed themselves out because they were never able to do that from the beginning. But
I would say that you also said the expectation from, like, the first phone call, which I know I've already sent a thing, or I'm going to send a thing. I haven't finished the email that we're going to send from the very expectation. Just read off, this is what the expectations are. Do you agree with being able to do these? So, and then when they come in to talk to someone, if it's you or someone else, they can be able to. So you can say the same thing with expectations. So by the time they get here, before they started, they've already heard expectation. You know, they read it, the person said it on the phone, who actually did the first round of recruiting. You set it, and then when they come in again, they get another expectations down again, but they have to sign for it. So they've already got expectations four times. So there's no, like, I didn't know I was supposed to do this. And I know, I think Tina's having a similar issue with someone else before too, but we won't talk about that. Or, but it's just setting expectation. So the first thing you say, expectation, the actual roles and responsibility.
Yeah.
And then what other documents would you need after that?
After that, roles and responsibilities, like I said, like if you have like a checklist, and then somebody is acknowledging that they're
able to. This is training wise, right?
Yeah, it's training wise. That's what I would say. Because that's very powerful. Because obviously, you have to have eyes and confirm that these specific tasks were met to a certain standard. And that's why we have that specific document. So it can reinforce that, hey, this is moving forward, this person exhibit that they can actually do these things.
Okay. So right now we have expectations, job description of roles and responsibilities, checklist for the training. I'm guessing we're going into a expectation. Oh, the 90 is the expectation.
The goals
would be right there.
Yeah.
And then those are just the position related stuff.
Yeah.
You still have your company's related documents of what we do,
mm-hmm.
Why we do it, or how we do it, whatever.
Yeah.
Both of those. And then we'll do like I know for us, we have something. This is independent of any role. But this is like, we'll do like what the items are, because for the rental companies, like what items you have, where are those items, what those items look like, and then like how are you supposed to handle the items, because all this stuff is like the base training. I'm pretty sure the training is going to be the same for our drivers in the warehouse the first day or two, because it's just the base stuff that are saying, no matter who doing it, either you're moving it somewhere or you put it into a truck or you're taking it from a customer, like all you have to know what the items even look like. And you'd be surprised at some of your guys or ladies out there, you ask them, hey, what is this? And then they'll go bring you back something, and it's not there. And I suggest you do a couple tests when you first get some employees and just have them do that. And, like, how's the testing been going?
The testing been going kind of hit or miss. But even, like, some of our, or I guess people I think would easily be able to pass these tests, they're having some hiccups. So maybe I need to reward it a little bit. But overall, yeah, I think it's been going pretty good as far as the whole idea of what the test is supposed to be there for. It's just, I'm trying to see how much has the person absorbed of the information that we give them. Because sometimes too much information is too much, and you don't get anything, versus just, you know, you find the sweet spot, and that's what that we're looking for with that test. But it's been going pretty good, I think.
Yeah. So would you think that all the efforts we put into training in this thing have made people who might not have been as good as employees better, and made people who are good employees even better?
Oh yeah, for sure. I've seen a big difference. The only complaint that I get is like, there's a lot of documents now. But other than that,
how many documents do we have?
Oh,
like for a position, like if someone first comes in the first day,
yeah.
Besides their onboarding documents, which is a whole another thing,
mm-hmm.
then we have like 14 pages of documents they sign when they first come on.
Yeah.
But like for their training, like how many documents is it?
Training, yeah. Like the list?
Yeah, or just because are we, does each thing on the list currently right now have its own document for the checklist?
No. It's just a document just indicating, like I said, for the drivers would be like showing that they can obey traffic laws, the judgments that they're making, the awareness of their situation, or even the awareness of their vehicle's length. All this covering gas, there's a whole, their speed, the items being ratcheted down properly. And then, just different, a whole list, it just varies like on the list for warehouse and drivers, but it just listed out. That's pretty much.
How do we decide on if someone goes through the training process and they just do it just because we're supposed to do it, versus when they're out in the wild? Like, how do we tell if they're not trying, if they're not obeying traffic laws, or if they're doing speeding or something like that, when we can't technically see them? How do we do that?
I mean, realistically, I mean, like anybody, once they've exhibited that they can do it, then at that point, if they don't do it, then that's more on individuals, you know.
Yeah, but how do you even catch them if nothing happens?
I mean, stuff's gonna happen. You're gonna see stuff happen, like just like, you know, speeding tickets and stuff like that. I mean, those are pretty evident. Like,
What do you know? How many speeding tickets?
Well, we also have trackers on our vehicle.
Okay.
So we have trackers on our vehicle. We have our dispatcher team watching them. and it tells you how fast they're going, harsh braking or any kind of off routes, all that good stuff. So, I mean, if you got a tracking system, but if you don't have a tracking system, I mean, the best thing you can do is just start praying, like, please let them make it.
Yeah. Three Hail Marys for you so that you can. But, but you should get some type of tracking. It usually doesn't cost that much. I think the one we have is like no affiliate links. We don't have anything for them for that. But it's like $20 a tracker you can give to the person, put it in there, or put it in the vehicle if you own the vehicle,
yeah,
and have them do it. You can kind of see what's going on. We'll kind of go more in depth into like the implementation of this stuff because we recently got, all our document stuff together. We've built out our library of videos across the whole team, which is kind of funny because some of the stuff helps for customers. It gives people who are selling the stuff more details and understanding about it. The whole process has just been developing. I know from like the CSR side, I made this cheat sheet. It started as a cheat sheet. It was one page cheat sheet of just everything that they need to know so they can always go back and check. Now that cheat sheet is about 35 pages, and then we have over 50 videos specifically over how to do a lot of the stuff in the back end, and then at least over a 1,000 calls that have been reviewed from the sales calls that people can do. And like after like you start doing more and more stuff, things get better. I kind of like the thing with the sales calls. I think we should do something with drivers where like literally we should like, because we did this with football, and I'm pretty sure you did this when you play soccer too as well. Like you bring in you everyone goes to the play, the coach puts up a bad play. Same thing he did with Kobe that one time. And then everyone discussed what they could have did to do it better and then kind of walks through the whole process so we can be learning as a team. Mm-hmm. And I think something that we need to start implementing more, because sometimes some people fall into the same issues that someone else has fallen into because they don't understand how they even got there and not realizing that they are putting themselves in a situation to even get there. And I think that happens more than not. But Tina, tell me about this. So, you know, is this like, because I think Tina has like a number, statistic or something for us.
So 59% of employees report no formal workplace training.
59%?
I'm pretty sure for 59% of the time that we were here, that we started this, we were part of that 59%.
Oh, yeah, we were. Because I was the documents, or you were. We were just telling people, like, all right, do this. And then when they didn't do it, we're like, I thought I told you to do this.
Yeah, because they have no. Because think about it. And this is, I'm not trying to get on the school system, but this is part of the reason why the school system is bad. When you bring something to a test, like a document or something else, they call it cheating and they punish people for it. Mm-hmm. But realistically, at what situation in life where you can't have a look at something to be able to self-check yourself, mm-hmm, while you're working out here? At any point in time, someone can, if they're putting up a 10 or something, the team and stuff, they can easily go watch a video during the middle of it and put it up and look at it. There's no reason where you have to be like, I have to know the answer, and I can't look it up nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing I think too, we're gonna try to push here more, like, this is your copy of the stuff, bring it with you, take notes, really dive in. This is your playbook. Maybe we should call them that, the playbook.
The playbooks?
Yeah. And this is your playbook. You can write what you want to write in there. This is all the stuff on there, and we'll send stuff to update the playbook. Because I remember they gave us a playbook, and they were like, we're at a new place, and they'll give us a new sheet to put inside our playbook. And then everyone had one, and they put it in like we put it in our lockers. And since we have lockers too, we'll put them lockers in there so that we can
the lockers.
And they can leave it, bring it home, but just so they have, so they understand. Maybe it's not a big binder because I think our lockers are small. It's a handy dandy notebook, like from Blue's Clues.
The roll up.
92% of employees say employee training programs have a positive effect on their engagement when well planned.
So Eddie, how do you feel about that? You think we're getting more engaged employees since putting all these systems in place?
Oh, for sure, 100%.
102%? 101%?
Just 100.
Just 100? Yeah. Oh, damn, we fell short.
That's okay. Oh, but yeah, for sure. I can definitely see. And the thing that I like the most is that I can easily, like I said, a lot of people sound very good in the interview. When they go into the next steps, which is like the training part, I can really see like what information that they basically absorb, how engaged are they in the learning process. And if they're not showing any interest in any of that, then I can easily like start go ahead and make preparation either to, maybe re position them to kind of better understand it or get another candidate in here fast? Because the main thing we can't get back is time, and we just don't want to waste any on candidates that would never pan out otherwise.
Yeah, in the future, we're going to add this to the ultimate checklist, kind of detailed approach about it, so it's easier to do, and everything's good. But if you legally want to set your business up, use Zen Business. Zen Business is an LLC, basically you can set up. It's free to sign up through their fees if you're for basic ones, and you just pay the state filing fee or federal filing fee if you have to do something. I think it's just state that you have to worry about. So you want to check that out. If you want to help support the channel, this really helps us out, puts money back in our pocket so we can make more content and push out more stuff for you guys. And also for us to keep improving the ultimate checklist so we can give more and more free content, that free content.
For free.
So now that you put all these plans into place, you can't just be like, I'm done, let it go. We have to measure, test, and put this stuff back out here. So if you don't already, you need to be having some type of score to identify how well each person is doing. What scores do we have for drivers versus in warehouse?
For the warehouse, basically what we do is we have task lists, and they're given a certain score. And then the task list, basically, will give a score. So we generally have four tasks. They'll give like 25 points each of those tasks because we deem them important. Then after that, any kind of value that they get from the actual items that they clean and put back on the shelf, we give them points for that. So I think it's 10%, I believe, per item. So we'll just say something that costs $10. We'll give them $1 value. So if they're cleaning a whole bunch of $10 items, they can get that dollar amount high. And there's a specific cutoff that we have. We'll just say below $200 a day. Is unsatisfactory, 250 and below.
Wait, you mean percentage?
Yeah, percentage.
Percentage, said dollars.
Right? Oh, okay.
Everybody say, cause,
I'm sorry.
So that's one of the things that we got away from.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I went back to the old system. You're right. Before, we had just dollars, and anybody can get that if they stay 10 hours or 20 hours or whatever. It doesn't matter. But now we have it where it's percentage-based. So a percentage of their pay. So we'll just say, you know, I'm paying them $120 a day, and they need to produce, you know, double that amount in order for us to deem that it's going to work out our relationship. That's one way that we track everything. So they'll have that for the warehouse. The delivery team, we have it now. I believe we have it hourly, but we've...
No, it's commission starting.
It's commission still?
Okay. Everybody's commissioning starting.
Okay. So, yeah, everything's commissioned, so it's easy. I think that's probably the easiest one because they only get a certain amount, but you've rewritten the whole commission side of it. So I haven't read it all, so maybe you can give more details on that.
Yeah. So at first we just did a flat 40% of whatever the delivery fees are, which some incidences was good for us, some incidences was good for them. But the thing that I realized that we actually cared about too is like how the work was done. We don't really care about how long it takes and stuff like that. It doesn't really matter to us. Some people, when you pay hourly, you're basically telling the employee that, hey, I care more about this the more time you spend on this, so that's why you pay hourly. But it's hard to do this across a lot of different things. But for the drivers, it's pretty straightforward. So for us, we still have, we figured out that deliveries are typically more difficult than pickups. So deliveries get a slight bump. I think we do 45% on those. And they're usually not as close as pickups. Pickups are 35%. Because they usually bunch together, because you pick up everything from all the week from one area, you can move faster through it. It's a lot easier. Pickups are a lot less stressful. You don't really have no huge time to be in there. And then we have like special services as well, like if you're doing same day pickup, so like is picking something up at nighttime or something. We want to incentivize people to be able to do those jobs because they might be at the middle of night, maybe at midnight or 2 a.m. or anything like that. So we want to incentivize them to do that so they get a position. A percentage of the cut from there as well. And then another thing too, like so you get all this stuff. Now there's a couple of things that can help you get more money, a couple of things that help you lose money. If you didn't follow the route order, that would allow you to lose money. If you didn't show up on time, that would make you so you lose less money. If you got the customer to write a 5-star review and put your name into it, then you get 5% boost on whatever you did that whole week. For order. And then like if you win the employee of the driver of the month or something like that, you get a boost, and that's the percentage that you get on there. So like we're trying to incentivize people to do exactly what we want to do by putting how we pay them to incentivize them doing it. We ran this model for a while. We have a lot of people who've been through the process. We just need to refine it. Because then before, it would just be you do the work, and then if someone has to come back, or someone has to, or the person doesn't finish it, technically how we written it up, the person still got paid when that wasn't working for us. We want people to actually care about what they want to do. So now each week, the driver's manager, which would be Kobe, had to go through and review the orders with dispatch, because they already have the list of what's wrong and stuff by the end of the week anyway, mm-hmm. and figure out which ones that they need to deduct and which ones they need to add more to it so we can be to have like a certain score that they're going to do. So like if someone's going to pick something up and then that person or drops something off on a delivery and then that person drops it off but missed two chairs, if it's going to cost us another $36 to get someone out there, either they can go do it to remedy the issue, or they'll have to get deducted the cost of that, which that could be a lot. That could be that whole job right there, depending on what you did. Mm-hmm. So most likely, like what we've seen in the past, the employee just goes do it themselves, or they just double count and spend the extra 5 minutes to make sure stuff goes out. I really like the way that this new system is, because it doesn't just cut the time down, but it also cuts the mistakes out, and it allows people to be benefited from when they do exceptional work as well. And then on the next one, we'll probably do other stuff, maybe about tips. Maybe when someone gives a tip, maybe we'll throw some more money in there too, because that shows they did good work. Just whatever we can do to kind of show what's going on. Because the way we're doing it before, it just can't just be just get the work done. We're no longer in that stage of just getting the work done. We want the work done fast and good at the same time, and we're willing to pay for it if they can do that.
Yeah, and then that's one thing we can also measure, that is by the customer satisfaction, how fast our team is moving. Can we take more work than what we were able to do before? So a lot of these things that we do is just to motivate our drivers so they can do more and do it at a higher quality.
Yeah, most successful drivers usually raise their percentage of how much they get paid by like 30% to 40%. 30%.
Man.
It's like 30% they usually go up on their work time. But that's usually because they cut out unnecessary talking at the warehouse. They focus on getting the stuff done, and then we've seen an overall just better overall doing everything. Anything that incentivizes them, anything that was associated with the money, they did, and they did pretty well. And stuff you didn't do with that, they didn't do that well. So like for us, we didn't have handling the materials on there correctly. Mm-hmm. So now we have it on there, and so now I'm pretty sure people are going to be like, okay, well, I need to do this, or I'm going to get less money. And then if I do this, I get more money. So we just really trying to put those breadcrumbs out so they can follow behind it, so we can get them to go exactly where we want them to go. And it helps them out too, because most stuff that we're telling them to do protects them, protects the company, and allows them to do more stuff faster. So Tina, so what's the best methods?
So according to the statistic, which says employees are 67% more likely to recall information from videos rather than text alone, it seems like people just prefer watching videos.
Yeah, it's a good thing we're working on that. Yep.
I used to like watching videos too when we were in school, and they're wheeling the little TV. You're like, oh, I want to watch videos, yay. And
then, yeah, right. They cut the lights off, and it's like movie time. Yeah. And they're like, I got to go to sleep now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been staying up all night doing who knows what. I believe that. I think... I would love to do a poll on our employees which one do they like, the written form or the videos, even though I'm pretty sure 90% of them are going to say the videos.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I've seen, like, I look at some of the videos, I'm like, I know the customers haven't watched this much stuff, because I track the clicks from the customers when it's sending out.
Yeah.
Oh, I see that some of the people in the back office just went through and just hammered through all the videos. People really like the margarita video.
They do?
Yeah. Well, they're watching it. And we haven't sent it out to that many customers for that many people to watch it. Mm. So I was like, that was kind of interesting right there. I was like, well.
Or just me watching it over and over and over.
It was you watching it over and over? Oh. Yeah, I didn't check that. But that's been one of my most exciting things I look forward to each week, is being able to send that little email out to saying like how many more stuff we got posted. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I really, really enjoy that. I think I told you that before. Like, it feels good to be building this out in a way that people can easily understand. And now we don't have to keep going back and redoing the training and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It solves the problem. And it's always good to get that off of your list.
So here are a couple of things that me and my friend here, Eddie, plan to do in the future to improve our training across the board? Eddie, I'll let you go with yours. We'll go back and forth.
Okay, so one of the things that we're going to do is start goal implementing and then basically
goal planning.
Yeah, goal planning, implementing, basically making sure that certain people are hitting these criteria, which is going to be 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. And then, you know, if they're not hitting them, then we come with correction plans and basically guide them to success.
Yeah. Another thing that we're going to do, too, is we're going to add in, which we're already doing this currently, but we're going to get all our training done through video. And we'll have video and then a written form for each thing. And then so when people come in, they'll spend the first, we'll have their planned out basically for the first 90 days, as you said, of what they're going to do on a, kind of a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. And that's one thing I just thought of. Maybe we should put like body cams on all the drivers and like the day of a delivery driver and they clip certain things. That'd be cool, right?
Yeah, we just like, maybe we can do it like with the crossbody of a, you know, the thing that I gave you for the fishing?
Oh, yeah.
We just get one of those and crossbody them.
Yeah, somehow we can access it remotely.
I don't know how to do that exactly. We're going to have to figure that out. Maybe one of you guys know exactly how to do that.
Yeah, hit us up.
Hit us up for a reasonable price. Obviously, we're not trying to lose break everything. Trying to do this. We have some secret thing, like put it right here, 007 guy. Mm-hmm. And the customers, oh, actually, I don't know about remote access, but I've seen people use the glasses, the snap glasses, and so you can have them on, you just talk to people.
Like the Terminator?
Yeah. No, like that. But you know, like the Snapchat glasses, they put them on, then they can like record, and then you can just talk to people. I mean, not talk to people, you can just record your what's in front of your face. So maybe we do something like that. Or we can send someone along with them, but you'll get an uncurated version of it.
Yeah.
And but that might be still good, like the day life of our drivers from the start, the pickup, and then the whole process, and what time they're done. And then maybe we have like a tally of like the commission that they're making, maybe something like that.
That'd be cool.
That we can do that. That'd be a cool video that we can do. But what does that do with training, though?
I guess information.
You mean like call, how we do call recording,
yes,
the call
exactly.
reviews. So this is like route reviews.
And then we can grab the bad stuff, and then when we sit down with our individuals and like, hey, this is what we don't want you to do.
Okay.
Maybe we'll even give like incentive, like, hey, we need you to put this body cam thing on, and then click play and only click unplay when it's to get back into the truck to go to your next delivery.
Wait, so is it...
That'd be cool, right?
Is it similar to how they do with the insurance?
Yeah, exactly like that.
The plug thing?
Yeah, so they can say, like, man, this person speeds all the time. We're going to have to raise his rates, you know what I mean?
Mm.
That'd be cool. No one ever thought of that.
And we'll just block out. We're not publishing this. This is just for our eyes.
No, our eyes. And then maybe, like, we would, like, put that, like, in the training as well.
Oh, so same thing we do with call recordings.
Yeah,
we'll call reviews.
That's just an idea. I just thought of it right now. So you're getting the raw version right now.
Okay, that's interesting. Well, dang. I don't got nothing like that. That's that crazy right there. Or that's like futuristic. I didn't know we were, I guess we actually could do that. That would be interesting. That would be very interesting. Because that's just like, it's like call reviews that we do for sales, but it's like route reviews or stop reviews for drivers. And then we can use that to create actions and just randomly eat somebody words each day. And eventually I think you might be like, and also too, I think it, even if you don't even click it, it's kind of like the police thing where, like, since it's on, they just act better because they know that someone's going to be watching.
Exactly.
I just wonder, like, how...
Maybe
like,
we'll rewrite the
you
whole...
Have to, you have to, like, a GoPro.
Thing. Yeah, exactly.
And just put, like, put it on low settings so it just can see this stuff and then just put, like, a card in there and just buy some old GoPros and just the strap thing.
Yeah.
So about $100 each person, we could probably get, like, 6 or 8 of those for less than $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. We're going to need to test that out, have everybody mic'd up. I just want to know if it, like, violates any privacy stuff with the employee. I mean, the employees,
privacy,
but not
we're paying for.
Not for the employees, but the customers.
The customers.
Yeah. So maybe we'll be like, hey, they're going to have a vest on. If you don't want to be part of the training stuff, you know, we'll just reach out to the customers ahead of time.
There you go.
Yeah, and then we can get it solved. I like that. And then it's not like we're not going to post this nowhere, right?
No, it's going to be all
internal,
only for training purposes.
Mm. So we say this is a good. Then we can sit the drivers down and review each week a couple. We can get it cut up and review a couple different ones.
Mm-hmm.
That might be interesting. Maybe trainees that have this at the very beginning. It is wear this vest. I like that. You know, one thing I do think that we need to add to training, There's a couple more things I wanted to actually look into. Like, when people are jumping in and out of vehicles, I already think about, like, the vest. Like, having the Kelly Rental shirt in, but maybe getting them, like a vest, like, on, too, as well. Like, the reflective vest. Yeah. So but, like, a Kelly Rentals. Yeah, like a Kelly Rentals vest for that.
That'd be cool.
I think that'll allow us to just be a little bit more safer. Because I think, like, after we get this training thing down, the next thing is going to be, like, removing incidences or, like, safety concerns and stuff in the warehouse. That's kind of, like, our next step, because those will be, like, the next biggest concerns that you might have. Someone falling off a ladder, which we've already made improvements into that with, you know, getting the forklift, not using ladders, but using that step thing that with the wheels that you can get stuff.
The safety.
We're doing pretty good on that. So are you another one for us?
Oh, I just thought about that. I literally, it wasn't planned at all. It popped in my head.
We got anything next train that we're going to be working on?
Oh, I mean, for the most part, I mean, we're basically just refining out all the numbers that we're getting. So, like, from the, I mean, pretty much all the new people that are coming in right now, we're going to get the information from them, and then we're going to see how it does compare to the old ways. Yeah. But, I mean, to be honest with you, everything has been doing very, very good. Even the implementation of the sections, like the color sections, like that's been that thing's, like, amazing. That alone.
Tell us a little bit more about that. Like, what do you mean by sections? So other people don't know.
So basically, if you don't know, if you haven't watched other videos, we in our warehouse, we have sections that have certain colors. Then we assign these colors to individuals. That way they can feel that they're specifically responsible for that specific color. The problem is with the big warehouse, everybody does the pointing like, oh, well, that wasn't me. But, you know, it's everybody's responsibility. So we give, basically, we assign certain zones to individuals and say, these are your responsibilities. And so if they're not up to a par, then it's specifically that specific person's problem, not the whole team. Another is like maybe like I guess the shelves itself, the whole team, but specific key areas like the electronic room or our intake area, which is red, and then our toolbox or our kind of repair area, that's another one, our tent area. So all these specific areas where, you know, we might have some trash or stuff's not put up where it needs to be. Now specifically the individuals have responsibility to keep these items up to par.
Yeah, and these go along with the videos that you and Tina have been making, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that's perfect. And then, like, do each area have a checklist?
No, it does not have a checklist, but there is pictures, and then basically everything has a signed spot. If it's not in the spot, then we know that it's not up to par.
Okay, that's good. Will we have a checklist?
I mean, we will have a video eventually.
Yeah. So no checklist to write them off each weekday? Mm-hmm. Each day?
What do you mean?
I see you got checklists for everything else.
Well, because what I did is I took pictures of how the area should be.
Yeah. Are you going to do an outline things where everything has an outline of that person in those movies and they got to put everything in the outline?
No, it hasn't gotten that bad. I mean, like, for instance, the electronic room, like, if you go in there, you'll see on the walls there's, like, pictures of everything where it should be. So if it's not there, it's somewhere else, and it's wrong. It's very hard not to get it right, if that makes sense. Like, everything has its spot, like, you can't put like a dirty towel in there and not know that it's not supposed to be there.
Yeah. Let's see, Tina. What do we have for us right now?
74% of workers are willing to learn new skills or retrain to stay employable.
Would you say most of our people that we have to go, because we have to retrain a lot of, even some of our older people that are still here.
Yeah.
Do you say they were really open to that?
Oh, 100%. I think everybody, they want structure, because it doesn't only like affect them, because sometimes, you know, one of the problems that we had back in the past is everybody was just doing anything. So it's hard for one individual to just take responsibility and clean up after other people. So if everybody across the board is doing it, then everybody benefits from that. So that 100%, like our guys that have been with us for some time, even we had to re-educate them and retrain, they're all for it. It's because it benefits. Because like some of the big headaches that we had, like I said, like people just leaving stuff here. And I would always say, hey, your mom doesn't work here, so you need to pick up after yourself or put it in the place that it is. Like everyone's like, thank God. Now it's held to that standard and everybody's more responsible now.
Yeah. I want to be able to easily find a way that anyone, even you guys, can be able to determine how many hours you need to work and what people you need to hire. by the end of this year, I expect us to have some type of system for scheduling so everyone can know exactly this time people you should hire, this is the hours they should do based off the amount of work that you're doing. And we should have some type of thing. You just
like
and
a formula?
Your formula that people can use that we'll make a video and that we'll give to people. That will be in the ultimate checklist too. Because I realize a lot of people don't know how many people they should hire or if they should hire or when they should hire. Mm-hmm. And I think us figuring out exactly how to use that in our business, we'll be able to really put that back down into everyone else to help everybody else out. Right now for us, if we had a way to put the math up here, so like if we have like, if you have $10,000 worth of just work, of just like say rental items, nothing but the rental items. And then the commission on those rental items for cleaning was 20%, which would leave $2,000. And then you divided that by our average hours that each employee works, how much commission they earn from the warehouse side, which is 38. So 20 divided by 38, let's make it 40, so it's easy math. So that's 50 hours. So we need 50 hours of cleaning work to be done to actually do the $10,000 of rental items. Mm-hmm. And everybody's data is going to be a little bit different, but if you'd be able to track the stuff the way we did, you can come up with whatever your number is. So if it's $40, $50, or $10, you'd be able to use that to associate exactly how much actual work you do, how to figure out how much the work needs to be done. So I think like something like that is going to help out tremendously, because then you can be able to actively go through and don't have to spend too much money on just how much people that you're bringing in. Mm-hmm. And your schedule a lot better. And I think that's one big thing that we're kind of getting into, not so much training wise, but just getting the schedule down, getting the budgets down so we know exactly how much we're going to spend across all of the teams and when we're going to spend it, and how to be able to effectively be able to shift who comes and goes at different points to be able to get what we need. And I think that also too is going to play a huge role in training across the board so people understand why we're doing things. Because like when we get into like winter season, we usually will hold people on a little longer than we probably should. And I think that sometimes hurts us when realistically the work just goes down. And in the rental business, I'm pretty sure you guys understand this, I know we do, that you have an infinite amount of work. You can do stuff forever to keep improving or to do it. You can create work I like to say, right? But I always say, don't create work.
Yeah.
So you always can create work by far. So like for us, like we want to be very specific on what each person is going to do, what stuff we're going to be acceptable of doing during that time so we can keep our profit margins. And our profit margins doesn't do this. It's kind of more consistent across the whole front. But you have to be able to know, because sometimes you're like, well, if I don't have enough people, I'm not going to be able to do the work, then that's going to look bad. And then so you usually lean to having more people. So like for us, we want to come on a system so anyone can be able to justify what that person needs to do and then really to be able to determine when you should hire somebody to when you get these systems in place. But I do think being able to easily say you need to put these systems in place, implement them, track them, to get through the whole process. But let's go through the rental rundown.
Rental rundown.
Tackling your FAQs.
All right. So the first question that I have for you guys is, what do I do if my employees keep making the same mistakes?
Oh, we talked about that earlier. The main thing that we do is, we actually on our board, we have an error board. So what we do is we see the mistakes, and then these mistakes are constantly happening. We look at the system that we currently have. We say, is it the system? Is it the individual? Well, either or, it's all our fault. So we come up with the resolution on how to change it. Because like one thing that we always say in the podcast is, do the same thing, expect a different result is insane. So we change up the process or whatever mistake they made. We'll just say that, hey, this person keeps making the same mistake. Instead of bringing, you know, the right amount of chairs that he's supposed to bring, he's bringing less than that. So what we'll do is we'll sit down and say, okay, well, we need to have a policy that we have a double check policy, which we have right now, where the individual can will stage exactly what they need for their truck, and we'll put it in an area, and this is what exactly they're supposed to have on their truck. So that way there's no mistakes. But at the same time, that individual needs to check that staging area to make sure that it's everything that's supposed to be on their truck. So it's a two-person check. Because humans do make mistakes, but yeah, so if that was the problem, then we would do that. But if it's another problem, you look at it the same way, just what's the problem, and then you come up with a resolution to kind of help out alleviate the issue that you're having.
No, I like that too. I think most issues come down to either the person doesn't know what to do, don't know why to do it, or just probably doesn't want to do it, or they're not incentivized to do it, I believe. They're not want to do it, don't incentivize it. Because usually if you incentivize, you would more likely like to do it.
Yeah.
And but in the day, if the problem keep existing too, you have to realize that you might be the problem because you keep allowing the person to exist, which allows the problem to exist.
Yeah.
So that's another thing too, because like every single thing that we have that, like every, this is my belief. I'm not saying this, don't want to edit, but I believe every single issue that you can think of is in some way our fault. In some level. Besides, like, actually, I think almost down to almost anything is our something that we've done to be able to do it, to have this issue. But most of the employees and stuff, I would say for them, is that you talk to them. Is the system, like, we had, like, this is kind of with the driver's commission. The system was incentivizing people to just move really fast and make careless mistakes because they didn't get decentivized or incentivized to actually do it correctly. Mm-hmm. And so that extra 5 minutes, because they were incentivized only on time. So that's why we had a lot of the issues, and that's why we came up with a new system.
Yeah.
And I know for us, we're like, oh, it's not the commission's bad. It's just the way that it's structured and how it incentivizes people. But for us, we just cleared the whole thing out, because sometimes it's just good to start with a nice, clean white piece of paper. Mm-hmm. Clean slate, instead of trying to rebuild around all the ruins and the bad habits. Because those habits over time are reinforced, especially when you keep making more money and bigger stuff, they keep getting reinforced across the board.
So my second question is, how do I know that my employees have obtained and will execute all of their training material?
Well, one thing that I said is that what I do is I have a test, and I'm able to see what exactly that they got from the stuff that I gave. And then it also is, as far as execution, like you can see, like if they're put in specific situations, what would they do? And if they go the way that you do not want them to do, then that's an easy indicator. But test is what I would use to see, well, what exactly they will do in when they encounter those things.
So how do you conduct these tests?
Written tests. It can actually be like a training course as well. So we'll go put them in that specific scenario and see what they do. And, you know, correct them if they go the wrong way, and show them what should be done.
Yeah. Make sure you get the ultimate checklist. And if you like this video, please watch one of these videos we have up here. Subscribe to us so that you can help us out and watch more stuff and learn more. But thank you guys so much for watching. I'm Xavier Kelly.
I'm Eddie Salcedo.
And we are The Rental Boys. And we'll see you in the next one.
Hey, we them boys.
We them boys.